when you bow your head, or close your eyes, or put your hands together, or look up at the sky in prayer, what are you looking for? When you come to church, when you whisper a prayer at a stoplight, not scream a prayer, but whisper a prayer at a stoplight, when you open your Bible to read, when you sit down with somebody whom you identify as a spiritually deep or enlightening person, what are you looking for at that moment? What are your hopes? What are your expectations? I don't remember the first time I was aware of my parents or my older siblings or my surviving grandparents or most of my aunts, uncles, and cousins or my own self. By the time I was aware of any of those people, by the time I was aware of anything, really, I was already aware of those people. I also don't remember the first time I heard the name Jesus or the first story about him that I heard or the first time I pictured him. I don't remember a time when I first saw a Bible or was first introduced to the concept of church. That, in my opinion, makes me one of the most fortunate people in the world. It was easier than easy for me. I didn't have to be introduced. I didn't have to think or decide my way into it at that stage. It was already something I was aware of as I was gaining awareness. Not everybody is so fortunate. 10 years ago, I spent a week at a Trappist monastery in South Carolina called Mepkin Abbey. It was late afternoon when I got there, and there was another guest just arriving as I was moving into my quarters. His name was Jim. Jim was a working man from the Midwest. He reminded me so much of the Irish Catholics whom I had known from around Chicago that I just kind of assumed. But as I learned in the few times that week when silence was not being kept, Jim was a prime example of a seeker. I don't know if he was on a quest for truth or a search for a religion or a religious life that would match the faith and belief that were already natural to him, but he was no more or less Christian than he was and wasn't Hindu, Baha'i, Sikh, Shiite, Sunni, Ashkenazi Jew, Sephardic Jew, Mizrahi Jew, any other religious identification. He was open to everything. He did confide in me at one point that he had a particular problem with Christianity, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was some aspect of teaching or practice that I've long since forgotten, but it was obviously something that he had picked up somewhere along the line from somebody who had a fairly strict sense of what a Christian needs to be and do and think. Kind of a, this is the answer and it's in this box. Whatever it was that Jim had found off-putting about Christianity that he'd picked up somewhere along the line, there was obviously a world of assumptions between what Jim had heard about what it means to follow Jesus and what you or I might feel led to believe after an honest reading of Scripture or through the lens of our tradition. It was frustrating to Jim. And I must say, my lame attempts to ease his frustration by going kind of Unitarian Presbyterian on him, well, different people believe different things, that was not helping. This guy was a technician. He was a plumber or an electrician or a mechanic or a steam valve operator or something. In his life's work, problems had solutions and questions had answers. But I couldn't just lie and say, well, Jim, you're so lucky you bumped into me because I alone have discerned the mind of God. Jim was faithful. He went to all of the daily services starting at 3:20 in the morning. He observed all of the silences. He prayed. I didn't realize at the time how often or how fondly or how much gratitude I would think about him for the rest of my life. I never got Jim's last name. I can barely even picture him now. But Jim gave me a real-world opportunity to consider. If someone asks you who and what Jesus is, and there's a very limited time to offer a response, what do you say? I find it interesting enough to consider that question by itself without any context, but the complicating truth is there is always a context in which or from which that question is asked, if and when it is. And I've always had to wonder, what was Jim looking for? Four lines in particular stand out to me in John's verses about Jesus coming to John the Baptist. The first three spoken by John the Baptist as public declarations, the fourth spoken by Jesus. In verses 31, 33, 34, and 38, John says as a public declaration, I myself did not know him. I myself did not know him. And I myself have seen. And Jesus says, what are you looking for? The child walks into the room on Christmas morning where the stockings have been hung and the tree. What are your expectations? What are your hopes? What are you looking for? The young couple at the front of the sanctuary exchange rings as well as looks that are both knowing and wondering. They know more about their own closeness to each other than anybody else in the world. And they wonder what's ahead on the long journey they are just beginning together. What are your hopes? What are your expectations? What are you looking for? You realize that the familiar-looking person 10 feet away from you in the bookstore is the celebrity whom you have admired for decades. And as you struggle with whether to say anything or not, they glance over at you and notice that you see them. Your mind races to think of what to say, and you can feel your mouth opening to form the first word. What are your hopes? What are your expectations? What are you looking for? You come to a place you haven't seen since childhood, but have seen in your dreams for decades. The house or the school or the church building. And you've been invited to come on in and take a look around. Now that you're old enough to have put away the painful memories and sentimental enough to think nostalgically about the good memories, you put your hand on the unlocked door and you give it a little push. What are your expectations? What are you hoping? What are you looking for? You open the envelope from the IRS or the utility bill with a conspicuous section of red ink visible through the address window. Or your cell phone rings and you recognize the number of the person with whom you've recently been at odds and you really could do without this phone call right now, today, but you tap the button to take the call and lift the phone to your ear. Or the surgeon emerges from the operating room to give you an update. What do you most need at that moment? What are you looking for? And did you know that in every instance, God is already at work and is already with you? And did you know that John the Baptist saw his life's mission as testifying to the light, and that the light came, and that Jesus was the light? And that God is love. And that Jesus was the embodiment of God's love. And what he did, teaching, healing, feeding, rescuing, clarifying, challenging every conventional wisdom that did not have love at its core. What he did not only showed us how much God loves us, but taught and commanded us to show and to know God's love in everything we do and say and stand for, in all circumstances. Isaiah prophesied to the people of God when they needed it most, scattered and lost and paying the price for how they had let their noblest origins devolve into taking advantage of poor and powerless people and not listening to what God had already said about how we are supposed to treat people, we individually and we as peoples and nations. They've suffered the consequences of their selfishness and apathy and heartlessness, and now they are broken and scattered, and hope and expectation barely have a pulse. And now God has sent Isaiah to bring a new word to the people. They have broken faith with the covenant, but the covenant relationship has not been lost. God will rescue God's chosen people, the people of Israel. But God is love. And it's not enough for this just to be about the covenant people, this one group among all the peoples of the world. And now, according to Isaiah, the Lord says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations." The Hebrew word is goyim. "I will give you as a light to all the peoples of the world, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." It is too light a thing that you should be God's servant just for you and your own people. Family salvation is not big enough for God. One people's salvation is not big enough. Denominational salvation is not enough. The salvation of one race or ethnicity is thinking way too limitedly and small. National salvation is not enough. Exclusive salvation that leaves some people out by design is not nearly enough to reflect the God who is love. God's people are called to be a light to the whole world, everyone, everything, everywhere. Even in your house, even in your heart. This is the God who sent the only Son to live and die and live again, and to embody and exemplify what God's love is and what it means. Psalm 24:10 asked, "Who is this King of glory?" Song of Songs asked, "Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners?" Isaiah 63 asked, "Who is this so splendidly robed, marching in his great might? It is I announcing vindication, mighty to save." Jeremiah 46 asked, "Who is this rising like the Nile, like rivers whose waters surge?" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, according to Matthew, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The people at the table with Jesus at the home of Simon the Pharisee asked among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" King Herod said, according to Luke, "I beheaded John the Baptist, but now who is this other person about whom I hear such things?" In Jerusalem, Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And the crowd said, "Who is this Son of Man?" Our hopes and expectations define the lens through which we encounter Jesus. Our expectations are confounded, and our wildest hopes are vastly exceeded. But what are your expectations And what are your hopes when John the Baptist says, I myself did not know him? I myself did not know him. And I myself have seen. And Jesus comes to you where you are and asks, what are you looking for? Come and see.